call to order the Oceano Community Service District Board of Directors meeting July 8, 2009. Roll call, please.
Vice President Hill.
Here.
Director Dahl.
Here.
Director Dean.
Here.
Director Lucy.
Here.
Seven in the fire items.
The weed abatement.
Weed abatement.
Uh-huh. We will. That will be the item
okay,
number seven.
So I should wait.
Yeah. If you don't mind.
All right.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay. Board member items for discussion. Pamela?
I have nothing at this time.
Jim?
Nothing right now.
Vern?
Nothing.
Mary?
No.
I don't have anything either. Review and approval of the minutes. I trust you all took time to read the minutes.
Is there any corrections or
anything from the public? Okay.
I would move that we approve the minutes of June 24th, 2009 as presented.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
And one abstention. Reports, Brian Haskell's not here yet, so when he comes in, we'll just put him in whenever he arrives. Fire Department for the month of June, Captain Angelo.
Good evening. For the month of June, we had a total of 60 calls, 26 of which were in Oceano, 14 in Grover Beach, 12 in Arroyo Grande. Eight calls were with CAL FIRE, two of which were on the beach. Of the 26 calls in Oceano, 23 of those were medical, two were fire, one was miscellaneous. Total call volume for this year is at 314, which would be at the end of June. Last year we were at 312, and as I discussed with you in fire committee, it seems like a large jump. Last year we were actually pretty low on calls, so this is not as bad as it looks, to where we're not having a huge influx. It's just last year was a slow year for us, so we're about on track where we should be. We're running approximately two calls a day is what our average is coming out to be now, which is pretty standard with us. For training with the Rio Grande and Grover Beach Fire Departments, we worked quite a bit on medical and trauma assessments. Along with that, we had CalSTAR come down to the airport. We did a hot zone loading, which is where we load a patient into it when the rotors are still spinning. That's actually how CalSTAR prefers to load their patients. That way they don't have any shutdown or startup complications. We ran through a few scenarios of that with each crew. We also did aircraft scenarios and airport scenarios. So we went with each crew. Took three separate days to get all the crews through, but Arroyo Grande Grover Beach came over and we went through and gave a full layout of the airport and the functions down there and where our shutoff switches are and how we can turn the runway lights on and whatnot. So that's an annual thing that we try and keep up on with all three departments, show the new guys that have come on, refresh the guys that have seen it before but maybe forgot. So it was actually a very good month as far as training goes. We were doing quite a bit of that. Temporarily, Engine 61 was out of service. We had an air leak on it, and it's an air leak that usually pops off every year after we do our pump testing. It had to go up and get replaced so we wouldn't lose all of our air pressure on our air brakes. And it's now back in service. It came back on Monday, and we're back at full staff with our equipment.
Thank you. Is there any question from the board for Captain Angelo? Any questions from the public?
I had a quick question.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Did you happen to assess the airport for weed abatement while you were down there?
I'm sure Captain Leathers did. He's the one that handled the weed abatement this year. While we were down there, it was just for training on with incidents at the airport or surrounding the airport.
Okay, maybe somebody might want to drive by the airport.
Okay.
I mean, it's your department, weed abatement, so, right?
What do you... It's not... Captain Leathers is handling all of the weed abatement issues.
Could you just ask him that I brought up the airport?
Absolutely.
If somebody could do a drive-by. Thanks.
Are there any questions from the public for Captain Angelo? If not, thank you very much. Brian Haskell, Commander, Sheriff South Station. We just saw you on television a few minutes ago. You had to come back and change?
Yes, I did. Sorry about that. It's been a busy day today. I got back a little bit to my station next door, or dispatch, to let us know what they witnessed so that we can try to figure out, put it back together as to what occurred that night. We've had two window smash vehicle burglaries during the last 3 weeks. Both occurred up on the Mesa. One was the 200 block of Crosby Way, which is a Blacklake golf course area. And the other one was in the 700 block of Via Seco in the Pomo. Both of those involved taking credit cards, car stereo equipment, things like that. So we're pleased that these people lock their vehicles. Unfortunately, sometimes even that isn't the answer when someone's willing to smash a window. So, again, if anybody hears any smashing glass in the middle of the night, it's a good thing to call into my agency so I can get deputies out there to investigate right away. On June 30th, sometime between midnight and 10 o'clock in the morning, we had a shotgun stolen out of an unlocked vehicle in the 1400 block of 16th Street. I'm happy to report that through the investigation done by a gang task force, we've been able to recover that shotgun, and we're in the process of tracking down exactly who committed the burglary so that we can file that case with the district attorney's office. So luckily we don't have a shotgun floating around out there on the street, potentially to create more problems. And lastly, an incident that occurred today, which was being referred to, at about 10:49 this morning, the deputies here at the station, myself, responded to the 200 block of Country Hills Lane, which is up in the unincorporated area of Arroyo Grande near Wasna Valley. We had a male subject, Claude Douglas Yarborough, who was involved in an altercation with his wife at the residence, and during that altercation, he fired a handgun into the floor of the residence. When we arrived, he was out in the street, and we took him into custody without any incident occurring. He was taken to jail for assault with a deadly weapon, making criminal threats, spousal abuse, and negligent discharge of a firearm. So that luckily had a happy ending to it, at least as happy as it could have been based on the situation. And that's all I've got this evening, if anyone has any questions.
Any questions from the board?
No. So how'd we do on the 4th of July in an unincorporated area that sells fireworks? How many fires did we have? I mean, as a person who lives here, I thought it was wonderful, but, you know, other people think differently. So how did we do the 4th?
Actually, the 4th was relatively calm here compared to other areas of the county. We had a lot of issues in Cayucas. We had a lot of police personnel there. We also had some issues up in North County in Templeton and Heritage Ranch area. But Oceano, Napomo remained fairly calm. There were illegal fireworks that were fired off, but I don't believe we had any fires that started as a result of those. And we had some calls for disturbances related to those fireworks, but for the most part, pretty calm.
Great. Thanks.
I did have one follow-up to a question I was asked last month about graffiti vandalism. And we contacted the owner of the store next to the post office about that rather ugly graffiti that's been there for several months now. We got permission to paint it over, and it will be painted over tomorrow. We'll try to match the color of the building as best as we can, but that's another story. And then we'll be doing the same thing over in Napomo as well, so we'll try to eradicate that as soon as we can.
Thanks.
Great.
Any other board questions or comments? Any questions from the public?
I was wondering,
could you come up to the mic?
I just wanted to ask if where the funds come from, or is this a community? Could this be a community action on painting the building or such?
Well, at this time, we have paint that's donated to us by paint stores. It's either, you know, somebody returns it because it's the wrong color or it's overage. We normally use that to paint over the graffiti, and then we use Honor Farm inmate labor to come out and actually do the painting itself. So it's a no-cost issue for the citizens. We are facing an issue with it being on private property because we're not allowed to go on private property without permission to paint it over, but that's something we're hoping to rectify in the near future with a countywide graffiti abatement ordinance. And we're hoping we'll get that sometime fairly soon. Right now, all we can...
Free will did not choose to abate their weeds. The resolution that you have before you confirms the costs associated with removing the weeds and forwards the names and charges of those costs on to the county tax collector so that they can be collected with the regular tax bill. There's a resolution attached to do that.
Kevin,
is
that
tax bill? Is it just the county auditor?
No, I could be mistaken, but I thought we send bills out for this. And have those bills gone out? And then if they don't pay them, then they go on the tax roll? Is that, am I misunderstanding?
Oh. I have those bills in my hand.
Do you mind?
Pretty much states.
Okay. The district is providing you the opportunity to pay the amount due directly to Oceano Community Service issue to avoid placement of the charges on the San Luis Obispo County Auditor's tax rolls. Okay. It had to be paid. It is requested that this amount be remitted, payable to Oceano Community Service Districts no later than 5 p.m. on Monday, July 13th. Today is
the 8th,
so there's still time to pay this. Charges not remitted and received by this date will be placed on the property tax rolls. If it is necessary to put these charges on the county tax rolls, the county administrative charge will be added to the amount due shown above. Okay, so this is not... This is the time for people to protest...
The charges
the
on
charges.
That property. Mm-hmm.
And they still have until Monday, July 13th to pay them.
That's correct.
And then only those that are
not paid
by
July 13th.
Irrespective of the current list that's on this
right.
resolution would be forwarded.
Correct.
This might be a dumb question, but... excuse me. I'm looking at some of these, and a lot of these are trust. I'm not even going to guess how many of them are in foreclosure or are vacant. So if it's going to cost us money to tack on to a tax roll to a house that's foreclosed on, that doesn't it doesn't make sense to me. So... I know of two of these houses right here that are in foreclosure. So I suspect there are more of these. And a lot of these say in trust. So So are we going to spend money putting this, attaching this to a tax roll that is isn't even symbolic, because it will never, ever be paid?
I don't believe it costs us. The county assessor adds it to their tax bill, and they get the fee for putting it on.
Okay, well, let's make sure it doesn't cost us.
At some point when the property is sold,
no.
The taxes have to be paid.
Yeah, the taxes have to be paid, but the county, at that point, they don't sit there and say, okay, well, Oceano gets, you know, $1,000 over here for weed abatement. And
they do.
Yeah, they do.
Okay, well, when the economy comes back to that point, great. But until then, I don't feel comfortable spending money if there is money to be spent on a house that's getting ready to be bulldozed down. Well, I'd like to see it in writing that it doesn't cost us anything.
Okay. I think, you know, I haven't been through your weed abatement process, and I apologize, but I've been out for 6 weeks, and I only returned to the office last Thursday, and Wednesday, actually, Wednesday and Thursday. So I'm not up on this as I should, but as much as I should be. But I believe your ordinance charges these owners not only for the cost of the contract to abate the weeds, but something additional to recover our time and expense for collecting the money. And once it goes to the point where this letter is received, such as the one, you know, the woman just brought up to Madam President just now, on that it includes...
It's costing these counties to handle these vacant properties, and I think there's a good possibility that it's not going to be free to us either.
Well,
my understanding is that these are applied to the tax roll. When the house finally gets purchased, then it's paid at that point. And I guess we should ask legal counsel Ryan.
Well, and that's what happens, is it gets assessed probably in the supplemental taxes, and it'll sit there until the bank sells the house. And from the proceeds of that sale, an amount for however much is due to the county, be it the regular supplemental taxes, that'll go to the county, essentially take it from the proceeds that the bank gets at the end of the day. So when these are sold,
in an atypical world, that's how it would happen, right? But if weed abatement is 20th on the list of debt, and they've sold the house for less than it was bought for, the likelihood of us getting reimbursed for weeds is nil.
Well, that's not exactly how it works, because the escrow company will not remit any payment to the seller until the county has paid everything owed to them.
Okay.
And I believe if it actually reverts to bank-owned property, the bank is liable for the property taxes such as they are at that point.
So when they sell, the property taxes come out of
the bank.
The bank
would be obligated to pay the property taxes going forward in the meantime.
And they never, ever will. They'll never pay the taxes. It'll be when it sells. Those proceeds will go
after
the bank.
I believe it's 5 years, the property would be foreclosed by the county.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, now we'll move on to... We've talked about this. We understand what this is. Now, ma'am, you had a protest, if you would like to come up.
And could you also spell your name for the minutes, please?
Okay. Cynthia, but the last name is spelled H-I-N-O-J-O-S.
1370 17th Street?
20th Court.
20th Court, yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. I do have a question. Okay, I'm looking at the letter that my husband and I got. We have some questions more than objections, I think. We want some clarification on the bill that we received. I have some pictures, the before and the after. One of the plants that was abated was some ice plant that was growing on the sidewalk. And I was wondering if that is considered a weed, ice plant. But, well, yeah, if I...
He's so glad he didn't do the weed debate.
Well, if you want the true definition of a weed, it's an unwanted plant. But it's not necessarily whether or not there are weeds or not. It's whether or not it can be a fire hazard.
Okay.
So, and like I said, I wasn't the one running around to every property. That was Captain Leathers. And I honestly didn't see your property, so I couldn't tell you right off the bat. But if it is a fire hazard, then it would be abated.
Okay. So, all right. So who would be the person that I could address?
Do we have the book there with the pictures?
Yeah, I have the book with it all, yeah.
Okay.
You'd
want
to address Captain Leathers, Brian Leathers.
Okay.
He can be reached at the fire department.
Okay.
But we have the pictures of before and after.
I have the before and after.
Yeah.
And
the same ones.
President Mann?
Yes.
Does Captain Leathers have a book on what's defined as a fire hazard plant versus a non-fire hazard plant? Because I was always told to plant ice plant around my house to avoid fire. My understanding is a weed abatement program is to avoid fire. So how could ice plant now be considered a fire hazard when the county and the state tells us plant ice plant because you can't catch it on fire?
Can we see your pictures?
I'm just a little confused.
The biggest problem with ice plant is if you can maintain it after you plant it, great. The problem is you get a lot of dead duff, is what we call it, underneath.
Right.
And that burns.
This is the one.
And that burns underground. That's the problem with ice plant.
Yeah.
And this is what they cut?
Fine line.
And it is. It's a case by case. You have to look at them. And like I said, I can't see the pictures from here, and I didn't look at the property.
Yeah.
Because I know the whole corner of 24th and Beach, just the entire corner is ice plant.
See where they cut just by
maybe
the
this high.
Yeah, it looks like it's
with at least 3 feet of it deep, rotten, dead, and
what
I don't
corner
see
is
that
it?
Name on the list.
What corner is it?
On the corner, 24th is there.
Could I send another picture along with those?
Big Victoria,
it's still there. It's still there. Okay. Give me the money now.
Director Lucy, after you asked me a question about the airport, I don't know why I didn't think of it at the time, but the airport is actually not our jurisdiction, it's county.
Oh, okay. So they can burn?
Well, they can't.
Come on.
It's the county's responsibility to maintain.
Well, I didn't know if there's boundaries or not.
Yeah, the fire won't come across the street.
That green stuff is not going to catch on fire.
Okay. So, when they go out to clean these properties, they charging by the acre, by the hour, by the?
I'm not familiar with the. Sorry, Director.
That's all right.
I'm not familiar with the contract. It was
the cost for this one was $108.
Well, it looks like it's a minimum, huh?
Yeah.
Right.
If they use a mower or a tractor, there's a charge for that. If there's some hauling and removal involved, there's a charge for that, and then for hand labor.
So
I just know they have some categories.
And this is the total bill to the people that are on here? Or this is the charge from the...
This is the amount.
That's a total bill to the people.
Yours was 108, is that correct?
Right.
Yes.
And the charges to us were probably about $54. So that was what
so
I was earlier comments to Director Lucy about. Us recovering our costs.
On this one, I would suggest to the board that we waive this cost for this one, looking at the picture.
I just have one. The ice plant that they did trim was thrown back on.
Oh, well, it'll burn next year.
I shouldn't laugh. I'm sorry. Would you like to give us this picture?
If you want
it.
Thank you.
We're not talking ice plant.
No.
But what they got fined for is green ice plant on the sidewalk.
No, that's just, it looks like it's just something that, that, I mean, what I'm seeing here is there's probably a minimum charge to go out there. And then when they got done cleaning up the dry weeds, that to make it look nicer, they cleaned up the ice plant off the sidewalk, but then they threw it on the property, evidently.
Yeah.
So, was there another question?
Did you have something?
Or anything else?
The photo didn't look like this was grown out.
I don't, if you want my opinion, I don't see a fault in this, because there is obvious, I mean, it's above the regulated height. We're not looking at just ice plant there.
I made a motion to the board, and the board can decide what they want to do with my motion.
I'd like to second it.
Now, discussion. Now you can.
Well, that's all I have.
Yeah.
I mean, based on what I'm looking at, that's.
Yeah.
But did you have anything else that you wanted, that you had an issue with as far as the abatement? It was just
no,
the ice, just the cutting of the ice
just
plant?
Just the abatement.
Yeah, will that be something that they would do every year?
Yeah.
You know.
I'm her husband. I'm Richard, you know, mostly in the same address. And I was just wondering if that is something that's going to be done every year with the ice plant. The ice plant tends to grow down, and I myself could have trimmed that. I had already cut down the weeds, except for by the sidewalk.
Okay.
I hadn't cleaned them up yet, which I ended up doing.
Okay. Are you saying that the only thing they did on your property was cut that ice plant?
Cut that ice plant and a few of the weeds, and the far corner is not our property, where they also cut that.
Since when I'm looking at this,
wasn't that the strip that went up the side that wasn't theirs?
I don't know which corner.
There's a brick wall. And so it'd be
and then there's from that plant over if it was not
But to answer your question, yeah, weed abatement does go on every year,
right.
And it's actually looked at through November, I believe.
Right.
And we can actually call and have them come back out again, and if people don't maintain their properties through November.
Because when I'm looking at this, what it looks like to me is all this dry wood, dry grass here has been cut down with the weed eater, as well as that ice plant.
Yes, I did that.
You did?
I did the weeds.
Okay. Because
the first one should show that those weeds, but they're still all clumped.
Okay.
But they are cut. I mean,
the one in
the difference,
this hand
is
the
before. Yeah, because I can see that all this before and after here, that all this has been run through with a weed eater.
What it appears happened is that probably the contractor was given notice to go abate the weeds on that property, and before the contractor got there, you took your own weed eater and cut the weeds down.
Well, but this is before the contractor started, right after.
And they didn't remove the weeds, which is, to me, dead grass or dead weeds on the ground. It's a fire
hazard. This picture's closer than that one, too.
And
because the sign's bigger.
Well, it's...
So, to me, it looks like they went through with the weed eater on this, and they got the ice plant along the sidewalk that was growing on top of the sidewalk.
No, the owners cut the weeds down.
Well,
the contractor came by and sniffed the green ice plant off.
Well, these pictures are from the contractor, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And when the contractor shows up, he takes a picture.
Picture.
He does the work, and then afterwards he takes another picture.
Yeah.
So there is no time lapse between these two pictures other than the time that the contractor did the work.
It's not time stamped on those pictures, so what were those pictures taken? I was curious.
Well, it would have been the day that he did the work.
Okay, and does he have submitted to you the
Being the devil's advocate one more time is, Craig, I think you'll remember we used to tell them that they had to hold the something there so you could tell both pictures were exactly the same looking at it the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these are not, because you can see a lot more on this one than you can on that one.
Yeah.
And this is a bigger sign than that. So it's a little hard to judge.
Well, they're in the same location.
Yes,
it's a different distance
but you know
from the
what
sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once again.
But if you look at the week,
you can't tell because the fence is cut off the top.
Yeah.
Okay. Does anybody else have anything to say about...
Anybody else want to look at this?
You want to look at them, Jim?
Jim?
I've already seen them.
I've seen them, yeah.
Okay, there is a... anything else from the public? Okay, there's a motion on the floor to waive the $108 to these folks. How do you pronounce your last name again?
Enoas.
I didn't get it right yet, but to waive the $108. And there is a second. Roll call, please.
Director Dahl?
No.
You start with me.
President Mann?
Yes.
Second.
Mary.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
No.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Vice President Hill?
Yes.
4-1, it will be taken off.
Okay.
And President Mann, may I ask a favor of you? Is that since we're this doesn't have anything to do with you? Thank you for bringing this.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. And could we get something in writing so we're not going
to? Yeah, but I think you'll have to wait until the office opens tomorrow or something.
Okay,
right?
But I could go to the office.
Well, we are.
Yeah, it'll just be
we're removed. Short right now, but yes. We'll try to get that out, and it will be in our minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And there's five of us here who will remember that we did waive that.
We just don't want to be on the county rolls.
So. Oh, yes.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Do we have another protest? Name and address, please. For
Hi, I'm Darren Newberger. I live at 1434 15th Street. Thanks for having me. I have a similar case to theirs. Basically, I didn't receive the original notice. Had I received that, I wouldn't be here. But that's besides the point. When the contractor came, I guess, to do the weed eating, I heard the weed eating for a couple of minutes, and I went out there, and at that point, I was unaware that... that these people were supposed to be there, and so I saw their truck. It was an unmarked truck, and the guys could barely speak English when I asked them what they were doing. They had gone into my backyard, and they were flicking rocks up on my vehicles that were parked back there, and so I asked them what they were doing there. I said, no, we're hired here. I said, no, you're not hired here to be on my property. You know, you go ahead and get out of here, and so I watched them, and they went back to their truck and started eating lunch instead of leaving right in front of my house and throw their apple cores in my yard. And then they left. And so, I mean, they were there for only a couple minutes. They had started to hit my front yard, which I've been working like 75 hours a week for the last 3 weeks trying to cover my mortgages. And so it was probably taller. I'm not sure what the regulation is, but it was getting a little tall because I was behind on it. But I asked them to leave. And then once they left the next day, I did go through my yard and clean it all myself with my weeder and my lawnmower. And what they did hit, they didn't remove, like they mentioned. I don't necessarily think that the charges should be pushed onto the county, because I asked them to leave before, you know, they were more than a couple of minutes into it, and then I took care of it myself.
Well, but we send out postcards earlier in the year
to
every person, every property owner in this community. Everybody gets it, and it says if you have weeds, when we come and look at it, if they're not abated, we will come and do it. So,
I understand that. Maybe it got, you know, postcard got wedged in junk mail, or, you know, I wasn't, to my knowledge, that it was there, or else I would have taken care of it well in advance. But my problem is that I did stop them from doing it because I was concerned. I actually called the sheriff also because the vehicle was unmarked and the guys couldn't speak English and couldn't really give me a good description of what was happening on my property and why people were on my property. And so I was concerned with the safety of myself, my girlfriend, and my trucks that are there, and my tools.
What day was this, please?
It was less than 2 weeks ago, probably about a week and a half ago.
Our records show June 22nd.
Because we'll certainly ask the contractor.
Sure, and I watched them from the point I asked them to leave to the point when they actually did leave, and they didn't take any other pictures.
We have pictures there.
Yeah. Sure, and then also the weeds that were in the front of my house are not actually on my property.
The
contractor's note says kicked out on the middle of the job.
Wow.
So
yeah.
Which property is this?
1434 15th Street.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
The property.
Can you pass the pictures around?
Yeah.
The property in front of your house, is it like a curbside or an easement? Or
The streets in Oceano are 60 feet wide, and my property technically starts 3 feet in front of my front door. I mean, I don't want to split hairs, but...
Well, you're going to split them here because we're responsible out into the middle of the street as a homeowner, and in the alleys, we're responsible to the middle of the alley.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that. That was the other point I was going to make.
You can read that in the enforcement codes and stuff.
Okay.
But I am responsible for the weeds in the alley that grow against my back wall, my back fence. So you are responsible for those weeds in the front.
Sure. And
sorry.
I've actually taken the initiative to mow the entire alley behind my house because it's been overgrown in the past to the point where it's like four feet high.
Yeah, or is this?
Yeah, I take care of the parkway next to my house, and I wish I owned it too.
Sure.
And with the yardstick, remember?
Right.
Didn't we ask? But there are the weeds.
Is this the same contractor we had last year?
Of course.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Okay, and you're...
You can see the weeds there.
Yeah.
I'm not denying that I was behind on my yard work, but just the circumstances, how they conducted themselves and the fact that I did ask them to leave significantly before halfway done.
At that point, if it would have been helpful if you would have given a call here to Oceano Community Service District on that day.
I asked what they were doing there, and he could barely speak English. I called the sheriff's department and explained the whole thing to them because I didn't know what was going on and why these people were on my property, you know, flicking rocks against my trucks and my travel trailer.
And is this the first year you've lived in Oceano?
No, I've been here for almost 2.5 years.
Mm, okay.
I typically keep up on my yard. Okay. It's my work schedule lately.
Did you call the sheriff's department that day?
What happened with the sheriff? Did they show up?
They were going to come, and then he ended up calling me back and just talking to me over the phone about it. I told him what was going on, that the guy said that he was hired to be there. I actually asked, is that something that the county or the city is having done? And he had no knowledge of that. I gave him the license plate number of the truck, and like I said, the truck was unmarked, didn't have any business or city, you know, insignia on it. I was genuinely concerned, you know.
Is there any questions, any more questions from the board to the gentleman? Any other public comments?
Lynn Hill, Oceano. I'm a little concerned we keep hiring the same person, but I'd like to know, you had damage to your truck. Maybe they need a bill. And I would ask this board not to make him responsible for that. Maybe next year be a little more cautious who you hire.
Thank you. I don't think there was significant damage done to it, but the rocks were flinging up against my trailer and my two trucks I had there, but I appreciate that.
Pleasure of the board.
This is always, you know, these postcards have always been a thing that I have, you know, been a pet peeve of mine. I don't really like them. I don't think they're an adequate form of notice, but I've never, you know, that view has not really gone very far. But this is exactly why. It's, you know, a mass mailing of postcards to everybody doesn't, you know, it doesn't exactly give people really notice that their property is going to get abated.
You don't remember the times when people would come and said, there was no notice on my property, or it blew off, or the neighborhood kid took it off. That was why we went to the postcards.
Yeah, I understand we went that the postcards you know, get mailed, and they do receive them. And it looks a lot like junk mail a lot of times, too, and it can get that way. You know, when it's just a mass mailing to everybody, nobody really knows that their place is getting abated. They just know that places in Oceano that have weeds will be abated. But whether theirs is actually qualified as one that's getting abated or not, and when,
Do we still have the postcard over there that says how many inches or something?
You know, I actually agree with this, is that if we're sending out, you know, 7,000 postcards, right, or how many ever?
Pieces of property is where they go to.
You got 7,000 pieces of property.
Could I see your postcard, please?
I mean, there's no way that I know that my address is on the list.
Exactly.
Because I have a hair hanging out there in the alley that happens to be 14.23 inches high.
So weeds taller than 4 inches growing upon or in front of the property listed on the portion of this card will be abated by removal and remain abated throughout the fire season.
And that's in English and Spanish, right?
It's in English.
Oh, that's my case.
It's not only weeds, anything that will catch on fire also, I guess. They have until June 10th to abate this. And after June 10th, the district staff will commence to abate all materials not removed by the property owners. Any material abated by the district staff will result in the cost of such abatement being charged to the property owner. Any property owner objecting to the proposed removal of all materials are notified that they may attend the June 10th, 2009 Board of Directors meeting to be held at 6:30 p.m. in the Oceano Community Services District. So we had a hearing on June 10th regarding this. Also, if you didn't want to have yours abated, if you thought yours wasn't 4 inches tall.
Thank you
very much.
At what date are these properties determined?
March.
In the middle of spring.
So this list is created in the middle of when? March?
March.
Okay. We go out, we literally drive up, the chosen captain, whoever's doing it, will drive up and down every street, looking at every property in Oceano, and with APN numbers and highlight, and then we take a APN map and highlight the property, so there's little to no confusion there. And then when we get closer to the actual abatement, they go through and check all those, and the ones that have not been abated get put on this list.
This list gets created at that point.
Yes.
Which is how many days ago? How many days? Well, they abated them on the 22nd of June, right? Or within
that
a few days right of there, right?
Yeah, for this particular property, the 22nd of June.
Okay, and at what point did this list of 24 properties get created?
Well, 26 were abated.
20, huh? Pardon me?
26.
Okay.
Properties were abated.
All right. So, and there were a list of a few more than that probably when the contractor went out, but showed up there and they were done.
Yeah, and the contractor literally has to follow the map the same way we did, and they'll look at the properties. And even if they have one in question, they can call whoever's on duty, and we can get a hold of Captain Leathers, and he'll go out and look at it, which I don't think happened this year.
Mm-hmm.
But, they have to do the same route we do.
Craig, can I ask you, so they assess him in the middle of the spring when, like, everything's growing and all that. Would California poppies be considered a weed?
It's green. It isn't going to burn, right?
But in the middle of the springtime, it will be green. But by mid-June, it's probably going to start turning brown like the rest of mine in my yard.
I don't know.
You know, so it's kind of a flawed little system, I think. We got, you know, what is that stuff that we just talked about?
Ice plant.
That, you know, the state says is fire retardant, that we're getting fined for cutting ice plant down, and we assess the weeds in the middle of the spring.
Well, for clarification,
If it was late summer, yes, you know, I'm right there.
That's the problem. What we're doing is preparing for fire season.
Okay,
it's a preventative.
California poppies, which is a state flower in the state of California,
mm-hmm.
is a weed.
Yeah.
So everybody who grows poppies and all the wild poppies in this town, right, are going to get cut down.
If it is deemed to be a fire hazard, then yes.
Okay, well, this program needs to be reassessed because it's flawed just by the pure nature of its contradictory. I know you didn't make it up. I know you didn't create it. But it's a bad system.
It's the same system we've been working off of for...
Yeah, it doesn't make it right,
15
though.
Years. And if you'd like us to look at it and possibly modify it for the next year, then if the board wishes, we will do that.
Well, one of the things we should do is make sure that whoever's working out there carries some identification and carries some information about what they're doing in English and Spanish or whatever so that they can hand it to the property owner and tell them why they're there. If they can't speak English, they need to be able to hand something to the property owner who's...
Yeah.
They definitely knew that you were... You didn't know who was there. So that's something we should give... That should be a direction to the fire committee or to the fire the next year.
Well, the board of directors is actually who decides who's the contractor. That would be something at your level.
We had
two bids,
and we took the advice from
the fire department.
The fire department of who they preferred of the two we had.
It wasn't that we preferred, it was that the other bid did not have a license nor insurance.
Yeah.
Well, and we felt that would be a liability issue.
Exactly.
And it was easier to teach the existing bidder the map and where the lots were because they were already familiar. And you can look back on those minutes because that's what the excuse was given.
Well, that may be what's on the minutes, but I did sit in that meeting, and the main factor was licensing and insurance.
It was, we don't have to spend as much time with the bidder.
Maybe at the board. I was at the fire committee meeting.
At the fire committee meeting, Craig is correct that there was no license. Remember
that?
Right.
But at the board here, it was for convenience.
Yeah, so that is a problem. On this particular contractor, there was an employee that we refused to allow doing that work again. So there was a problem, and now, you know, you learn as you go along and address those problems. And letting people know or having them carry some identification when they're going on private property, that's truly, I mean, it's something you have to do.
Yes.
We can't let that
we can't let that happen again, and perhaps they should have some sort of sign on their truck or put it on their windshield that says they're doing weed abatement for OCSD. And that would be a simple thing. Just stick the placard up and say, we're weed abating for OCSD, so that people know and you don't get...
A magnetic sign for the truck door could be had for about $15.
Yeah, we'll buy the magnetic sign for them, or say, you know, to put it on both sides. But, this going around and just going on private property without credentials or without any... that's not good either.
Yeah, I'd like to see some kind of a flyer or brochure or something left behind at each property after it's abated, too.
Let's make notes of all this.
Can I make a motion?
And
you can make a motion.
Hold on a minute.
She asked.
I think it's important that when this list of who we plan on sending the contractor out to abate the weeds, there should be a... I've always felt, and still do, that there should be a second letter sent out to these people, letting just the people on the list, letting them know that their property is planning on being abated. That postcard, I don't think, is adequate.
And or a door hanger, perhaps, some other...
Right.
Something.
Because at that point, it's a short list, and it's not
exactly.
It's not like you're telling everybody in town or you're hanging one everywhere. There's probably 30 properties that would be noticed in that fashion, which doesn't seem to me to be an overwhelming demand on resources.
It's been something that I've been asking for a long time.
Well, I would suggest that next year when it... weed abatement comes up, that you at that point bring up that we need to make some changes in the way we handle it.
I'm writing these down. Yeah. I don't know that you codify this kind of thing, but it is something that we can put into the minutes, and at the next fire committee meeting we'll talk about it. That would be one of the things we'll talk about, because we talk about weed abatement as old business. So we're going to put this into our records and into our files.
We can
so
also
remember next year.
We can also put a note in the file that they carry forward each year on weed abatement in the office.
Yeah.
You know, could you have a file on weed abatement?
Yeah.
So you're going to hash it out in the fire department, right?
Well.
Or here.
Any more you want to add, we'll take to fire department. But the fire department is the responsible party.
They're the
party.
Experts, not us.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I just wanted to know how much you were going to define your changes here or at the fire committee.
I think the fire committee will make a recommendation.
And report
that. And then
that.
The board can decide if they want to accept it or not.
Okay. In the meantime, I'd like to make a motion for this gentleman's...
Certainly.
...waiver. I move that due to technical flaws in the program... And the property at, is it 1531? 1434 15th Street be removed from the list of weed abatement. Has to have a second or it fails.
Is there a second? Is there a second? Hearing none, motion dies for lack of a second.
We have basically a charge for that. The weed abatement did get done, and it did need to be done. We have the administrative charge that's on there as well, and I think in all fairness that we can remove the administrative charge and just have the charge for the work that it was done.
I did ask them to leave just a minute or two after it started. I don't think that you guys should have to pay the contractor for work that wasn't done on the property. I mean, I understand.
Did the contractor abate this property, or did you abate it?
They started, and as soon as they were on my property and I didn't know what was going on, I kicked them out, and then I The next day, I did the whole property myself with my lawnmower and weed eater.
Their note says they were kicked off halfway through the job.
And did they charge, though, for it?
Yeah.
They charged.
$54. Yeah.
They charged for their time.
Their time on the...
If they only worked half... If they worked $54 for it.
They charged their, probably their minimum charge.
Yeah, I think that's the minimum charge, actually.
Well, that, then even more so, I think we should be dropping our administrative charge on this property and just charging the $54, the half.
Your motion is to charge $54?
Yeah. I don't think that that's fair for either the city or myself to pick up that charge since I had them leave, nearly as soon as they got there.
Well, right now, where you're at is the board was not, there wasn't two people on the board willing to completely dismiss the 108.
I
you're either at the 108 or there's the possibility of having it at 54.
I understand.
Okay.
Is there a second?
Well, what was the first?
His
motion
first
that
was $54.
That we take off the administrative charge and only charge him what we were charged by the contractor.
Yeah, I just wanted to hear the verbiage.
Yeah, $54.
I wanted to hear it in the form of a motion.
Yeah.
Okay. Looking for a second.
I think I would support that as a second.
Okay. Now, any discussion?
Okay. So it's either...
Well, you've made your argument.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, is there any... Jim, do you have anything to say?
I am distressed about the fact that there was no identification on the truck, no printed matter that told what the contractor was doing, no one with the contractor staff that could explain to the property owner what was going on. I think I would be certainly concerned if an unmarked truck showed up and somebody wasn't speaking anything I could understand and tried to do, work on my property. I would certainly think they were in the wrong place. At the same time, the point of this is weed abatement. I don't know. I think we... This probably the best way to do this is the suggested way is eliminate the administrative charge.
Mary?
I didn't raise my hand for a moment.
Oh, I'm giving you the opportunity. No?
No, I already said my piece.
Okay. I'm not crazy about what happened with the contractor on this, but I also have a problem with, I didn't know my weeds needed to be cut or my lawn, when I look at the pictures, it's pretty high. But I would go along with reducing it to $54. Any comment from the public?
Lynn Hill, Oceano. I know that you're all the elected officials, but shame on you for not doing this. I think it's terrible that that's who you hired, and the guy threw rocks, had no ID, but you need your $54.
Roll call, please.
Is it Matt?
Is it all
I know. Burn. We're going to do roll call.
You're going to restate the motion that he charged this man $54. Is that what the motion is?
The motion,
yes.
Right now, the motion is that the administrative charge is removed and he's charged $54. If the motion fails, he'll be charged $108. If it passes, he'll be charged $54.
Okay.
Which order you want this in, Madam?
Well, you have to start with the motion maker.
When he says one or the other, it's like, which one is it? Is it up or is it down? Is it yes
is it
or
gonna,
is it no?
The motion is...
You can't ask two questions in one motion.
He didn't. The motion
he
is...
He did.
The motion was $54.
Right.
Right, Ryan?
$54 interest.
And it was seconded by Pamela. Mm-hmm. So first it would be Vern, then Pamela, then the rest of us.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
No.
Vice President Hill?
Yes.
President Mann?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank
do
you,
you want
very
to
much.
Talk any more about the about this one, anybody?
I do want to talk about if this program is going to go before the fire committee and if it's going to be scheduled on the agenda, because it, like Director Dean said, it has serious flaws in it.
I would,
and when we modify and just, you know, off the cuff change prices and because there's flaws in our system, I see that to be a pretty important thing. When we're doing weed assessment in the middle of spring, I mean, that's a flaw in a bad system.
I think it would
so
come.
I really would hope that it would be on the fire department
it
agenda.
Would, I would believe it would come up on the fire department agenda perhaps January, because I think that's when
January.
I think that's when they start looking at the program. But in the meantime, we will have a note put in that file that they look at when they pull it out. You know, if you'll remember, we had a list of dates of when it was first looked at and a schedule, a time schedule of all the different things on
now,
this program.
Okay, but I'm under the impression that there are board members who are adamantly opposed to old business. So January would make it an old business agenda item. I think if you're in the middle of a program that's flawed, you should review the program now.
I believe where we're at with this program is that the first round of abatement has taken place. After the first round of abatement has taken place, we've had two protests that were settled as best we thought possible. Following that, I think there's some things that, because this is an ongoing program, I think that we need to request that staff address. And I would propose that we have the staff meet as soon as possible with the contractor to not send that contractor out to any more properties until they have proper identification, some means of explaining to the property owners what's transpiring. And I would also suggest that properties that are subject to further abatement be posted with a door hanger before the abatement take place.
Is that a motion, Jim?
That can be a...
Part of it should just be staff direction.
Staff direction, I would...
Up to a door hanger.
I think that's great. That's much better than January.
Okay.
Now, is there any way of finding out that, you know, this fee for this 54 that we're charged from the contractor on this job, how is our, I'd like to see our, you know, see if that contract can be looked at better and see if they have the right to charge us that 54 or not.
All right, we'll look at the contract.
And if they don't have the, you know, I mean, if we're getting charged it, if there's a way we can get out of that charge, then I think that should be passed on to the homeowner. Because if they had to be, if they had to, you know, if they just showed up and then had to leave right away and they're going from one to the next, I don't know, you know, I'm not sure that's a legitimate charge that they've given us there.
Kevin, you understand the direction about having them... somebody meeting with the contractor to say...
I'm going to discuss it with Captain Leather.
Yeah, about the ID and stuff. And
having information available, perhaps even marking their vehicle.
Yeah.
Or having some sort of obvious identification, not only just something that people carry on their person, and also...
I won't say what
maybe
I was going to say.
Maybe those things were in the contract. I don't know. I haven't seen it. So.
Yeah. And then, I guess so we would need a motion, Ryan, would we need a motion to say I lost my train of thought now.
Can I just
lead you where what my opinion on this is.
Yes,
I think,
please.
I don't think you can act on this. If you're talking about direction,
right.
I think you can give verbal direction.
Okay.
If you wanted to bring this up on the next agenda before any more abatement happens,
okay.
I think that would be the best way to go
okay.
about it.
That's when we would bring up that we wanted to perhaps have a door hanger put out if we were going to do anything else.
And
okay.
you know, I think you want to give direction now
okay.
and maybe direction
yeah.
to put it on the fire committee.
Okay, please put it on.
Yeah, I think
okay.
Fire
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
And not to complicate life any further, but what are you going to define what's a weed on the door hanger, ice plant versus geraniums versus California poppies? I mean, because technically they're all weeds. I hate geraniums, so they're a weed. No, I don't really, but, you know. So, I mean, come on, you know, ice plant.
I think what we need to do is review the Health and Safety Code, Section 14910. That's the authority that we're operating under and see what definitions are in there.
And it has a definition of weed.
What they've left up
yes,
to the individual agencies. Mm-hmm. Usually
Great.
The issue is, I know we call it weed abatement, but as Captain...
actually, that's not what it's called anymore.
It's not weeds, it's a fire, it's what's a fire hazard.
Yeah, exactly.
And I suppose, you know, if you have well-irrigated plantings mm-hmm. around your... It isn't supposed. If you have well-irrigated plantings around your house, those are acceptable. Those same plants that are dead, there's plenty of woody matter underneath, which Captain Angelo explained is called duff, that's built up to inches thick with dead roots running all over the place, then that's a fire hazard. And when that woody material catches fire, it smolders in there and becomes very hot. It could exist in that kind of condition for days, even weeks, and travel underground and then cause a problem. That's what the issue is. That's why sometimes it's required in rural areas that you scrape down to bare earth. It doesn't have to be a wide strip, but something down to bare earth to stop that underground travel on a... prevent a fire from spreading in that manner. So we use the term weeds as a term of art, but understand what that means. It's vegetation causing a fire hazard.
If I may, and
Kevin, I understand what you're saying, right? But you're assessing it at the wrong time of the year.
The rest of California has determined that is the time to do it because it's preparing for fire season.
It's 100 degrees right now.
And Southern California up to Central California has a late fire season, but it is fire preparedness is what it is. It's rather than being reactive, it's being proactive, and.
I believe that each of these properties were reviewed by Captain Leathers within the month before they were abated. He drove around.
Looked again, second look. Yeah.
He drove around and took a look to make sure that the properties in a timely fashion were growing with flammable material.
And one thing that I may suggest is I know my first year here as a firefighter, they changed the name from weed abatement to fire hazard mitigation.
Yes.
And I don't know why it got changed back because weed abatement tends to throw people off, and that might be something you want to go back to.
Thank you, Craig.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion.
Okay. So you understand right now that you're... charge has been reduced to $54.
I understand that, and I appreciate
Sorry.
Consideration okay. on the matter. I had a couple of quick questions. Should I expect to receive a corrected bill before I remit the payment?
Yes.
Okay, and from what Byrne mentioned, that was going to be my next point prior to him mentioning it, but you know, I don't think that it's right for anybody to have to pay for work that wasn't actually done. As far as $54 goes, being paid to the contractor, I appreciate you taking the administrative fee off. Should I expect to have some follow-up on if that contractor is talked to about that, or if that money is given back, or well, I haven't paid it yet, but if that charge is waived from the contractor, how can I know about that or know if I'm due for a refund or if I shouldn't remit payment at all?
I would suggest that you remit the payment. If the contractor refunds that to us, because have we already paid the bill?
Contractor went on site, mobilized, had his crew, began the work. There's obviously some minimal charge that's due him for
if
the work that was performed. Now, admittedly, Mr. Neuberger came out and, by his own words, quote, kicked them out of his yard. That's fine, but the fact is they did drive out there. They did go to his yard. They were operating their equipment. He said as much. You know, it was throwing rocks or whatever at his vehicles, picking up small pebbles and flinging them. So the contractor began the work, did do some level of work on the property before being convinced that they needed to leave, which they did. And the contractor's note was, we left in the middle of the job.
Okay. If we are successful in getting a reduction to us from the contractor, we would certainly forward that to you.
Is there any way I can follow up on that? Because I can't really see that come in full circle.
You can come and ask.
Yeah, you come into the district, and the staff is always open and available to any member of the public, and you can come in and get any kind of information. If anybody has any questions, you know, that's really the place to go first, is to go just directly into the office and talk with general manager when he's in, is available to talk. He's so is many of the other staff members that can.
You may be able to give me a timeline on when I might expect the contractor to be contacted.
When I just talk to the public, I know that, but you might want to just get the next packet, the next set of minutes.
Sure. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I appreciate your consideration.
And if you have any problems or issues, you know, you can always. Here's my card. You can always call me at home.
Is the supervisor's card there too?
No, not at the moment.
No.
You can always call me, and I can make inquiries on your behalf as well.
I appreciate that.
Sure.
So I'll wait to remit my payment until I get the corrected bill. Is that right?
I don't know.
Yes, the corrected bill will go out in the next day or two.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Do you have any of my cards, Greg?
I don't have
any.
You
let us on the card.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and there's, I think all of our cards are in the front office. You can get a card from any one of us at the front desk.
Okay, I appreciate all your consideration. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. All right. 8A, cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines. Kevin.
We're not quite done with.
Oh, we're not?
To make the resolution.
Sorry, there's the resolution you need to
fill
out. And the wording, wording is on the second page of the agenda.
Sorry about that. I just was thinking good thoughts here.
With the further request to staff that we get a verbal report during the next meeting of the result of your interview with the contractor and follow-up as the board has directed, if we could get a written report a verbal report that people could see at the next meeting that we're actually following up on this in response to the gentleman's question. With that comment, I would move that we adopt OCSD Resolution 2009-6, a resolution of the Board of Directors of Oceana Community Services District confirming the costs associated with the removal of weeds from various parcels of land, directing staff to forward the charges to the county auditor for collection.
I second that.
Board comment? Any comments from the public? If not, roll call, please.
Director Hill?
Yes.
No, I didn't hear that. Should I do second?
I did.
Oh, Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Bell?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
President Young?
Yes.
Can we get a short break?
A five-minute break. Five-minute break. going to get her.
I like roses.
Okay, we're back in session. Kevin, the cleaning and inspection of the district sewer and water lines once again.
Yeah, you have your continual disclosure of the emergency, and the action is to determine there's a need for the continuing action for the work that was declared, and was that 1,003, I think.
I wonder in my lifetime if this is going to get completed.
So a motion and a second.
Yes.
We'll call vote.
Motion, please.
Move that we continue the declaration of emergency.
And I'll second that.
Okay, public comment. Seeing none, bring it back to the board. Roll call, please.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Vice President Hill?
Yes.
President Mann?
Yes. Thank you very much.
Anything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. 8B, delinquent garbage collection resolution 2009-07.
In 1999, you adopted an ordinance which made trash collection in Oceano mandatory. And attached to the staff report is a list of those property owners whose trash collection accounts are delinquent. An informational flyer as well as the notice was sent to all property owners who were in arrears. So the recommendation is to adopt resolution 2009-07, which sends these delinquent charges to the county auditor for collection. Those charges have been replaced on the tax roll. It's a very similar process to what we just went through for the need abatement.
Okay. Notice on here, it says an informational flyer as well as the notice required by OCSD Ordinance 1999-1 was sent to all property owners whose accounts were in arrears. So all of these people have been notified of their pending garbage fees, and seeing none of those folks in the audience, is there any public comment on this? Bringing it back to the board for a motion or discussion.
Discussion.
Yes, ma'am.
So, just out of curiosity, how many of these, do we have any idea how many of these actually have people living in the structures?
No, we do not.
Would that be helpful to know if they're in foreclosure or not?
I don't know that it would be. The fees are due. We'll place them on the tax roll. If at the time the property is sold, then we will be collecting, or the county will be collecting those fees.
Okay, so.
And given to us, so.
Okay, so let's just say. Okay, let's just take 200 because I'm not very good at math. So if you take property number 4, they owe $200 in trash, right? And do we keep dumping their trash even though the house has been vacant for a year and a half? And now 3 of the walls have fallen down and there's obviously nobody living in number 4. But we keep dumping the trash, right? And the bill keeps going up and we keep submitting it to the county. In the meantime, do we keep carrying this balance? Am I clear on my question?
Yeah, I think there's more than one question there.
Of course. And there's several hidden ones, too.
I'm not totally aware of your trash bill and its composition, but whatever would be required to service the property, yes, those charges would continue. And then if you just take property number 4, continues to be vacant or whatever, every year you would go through this process for property number 4, and there would be a new charge to put on the tax rolls.
Okay, so 6 years down the road, and we're still collecting trash, and now it's, you know, asbestos because the house is now falling down, and somebody has been kind enough to dump them into the trash cans, and we're dumping the house down. Now it's $600 on a service that we don't really need to be providing because we know the house has fallen down 4 years back. Do we keep carrying that to the rolls?
If they're not generating any trash, that's one.
That's what I'm trying to get to.
If they're generating,
how do you how can you tell that?
Somebody's putting the trash can.
No. Does the trash man say we dump the trash at this address, or we don't dump the trash at this address? No.
Our franchisee should know that.
Be positive. That's right.
The way I understand it to work is that as long as the water's hooked up and on at the property, then there is mandatory trash service.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a process for getting the water turned off, and to where no one is—it's not possible for anybody to live in there. And when that process is completed, to where they get the water turned off, they can get their trash shut off as well.
Okay, so that's a great answer, Vern. The minute the water comes off, the trash pickup stops. So the tab stops. Okay. Great.
Trash pickup goes on whether the house is vacant or not.
Okay. Now, I know several people who live on corners, right, and will fill their trash cans and put them on one corner, have them dumped in the morning, fill them up again, and run around the corner and put their trash cans back out again. Those people aren't on the list, though, right? Because they paid their trash. Ha ha.
Trash collection is a franchise in this community, and I believe that franchise is due to be renegotiated sometimes very, very soon here. I'm not sure exactly when, and that would be something you'd want to take a look at the time you renegotiate the franchise.
Okay. But thank you for answering my question that the clock does stop when the water goes off.
You're welcome.
Vern answered that, mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Make sure that's on the record.
So, anyway, we need a motion and a second to adopt Resolution 2009-07.
I move that a resolution of the Board of Directors of Oceano Community Services District confirming the charges against property owners for the collection of delinquent solid waste collection charges and directing staff to forward the charges to the county auditor for collection. And I move that we adopt OCSD Resolution 2009-7.
Second.
Discussion? Anything from the public? Bring it back to the board. Roll call, please.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
President Mann?
Yes.
I noticed we didn't send out a generic postcard to everybody.
Administrative items. Director Dean asked the board review of development within the district. Director Dean, do you want to talk about that since you're the one that wanted it put on here?
Yeah, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, and it didn't get to a motion. And I think when we talked about that, my idea was that we look at all the development going on in the district until we have codes, or maybe even after we have codes, depending upon how the codification goes, so that we can monitor what's going on and see that we are following the whatever rules and regulations we have in effect right now. When we talked about it before, I think we had pretty much a consensus. I'm hoping that still is happening and that we could move to make a motion to have all new development come before the board and it be reviewed by the board. So, and that way, fire has a chance to speak to issues, water has a chance to speak to issues, streetlights have a chance to speak to issues, the sewer, any of those things that
we need to address should be talked about then. So that is my suggestion to the board. I know that some people said, well, it would delay the process. Well, I don't think it would delay it more than maybe a week or two to get it on before the board. And I think it would be very well behoove us to put it out in front of the public, what we're talking about and what we're doing. And especially with development, it is a real sticky problem. A lot of people are doing just small developments, and they don't know how to do it. So I'm hoping this might be an educational part, and we can also maybe refine what we need to do as far as codification of ordinances. You're going to find a lot of things come up when we start talking about this, and I think it's a good point for discussion. So that's why I'm bringing this back. That's the first part, and then the second part is the streetlights, but I want to talk about this one first.
Who wants to start?
I will then.
Okay.
I think for us to say that every development is going to come before the five of us, we're not a planning commission, and that seems to me awful lot like planning commission. I mean, we have the staff that's supposed to look at these things. If they don't do that, we need to get staff that will. But I think us to be micromanaging, looking at every single thing, I think that's not one of our mandates unless we want to go and try to get planning power.
I'm not talking about planning. Well, I guess I should wait to respond, so
yeah.
Go ahead.
No, that's just it. I think Oceano Advisory is the place that the county sends all of these programs to, and they are supposed to look at it and say yes or no regarding the things and send it back as suggestions.
While I'm sympathetic to the argument of Oceano Advisory, Oceano Advisory only advises the county on those things that are under the county's jurisdiction. There are certain items that are on the enumerated list here: fire access, water and sewer locations, street lighting, easements for OCSD services that are not within the purview of the county but are within the purview of the OCSD. And similarly to the way city councils review things in their cities, I would think it's probably behooves us to take at least a brief look to make sure that while we've had a couple of developments that omitted streetlights that were supposed to be on the plans and supposed to be installed, that didn't happen, at a resulting cost of the district of so far in the order of $5,000 and perhaps more, that I don't think it's really unreasonable for the board to look at these just to make sure that those questions have been addressed. I wouldn't propose to second-guess the staff, but and certainly it is the staff's purview to look at those things, but I don't believe these particular items come under the purview of the county, and that's one of the difficult issues here where we have divided jurisdiction. So we're not a city. We have divided jurisdiction, and it's difficult for our residents to have to go to the county for part of it, come to the district for part of it.
I stand corrected.
I didn't mean to correct anyone.
No.
It just seemed
no.
to...
No, I'm just saying.
That there are some issues that are uniquely the purview of the district that it might be well to review.
Vern?
Well, I'm in agreement. The you take the item, the one sore spot item in this sense, and the street lighting, it can come be, when a project comes before the advisory council, we look at it. But and if somebody brings up street lighting, we can look at that and we can make the suggestion on street lighting to the county that it needs to be addressed, and the county may look at it, the county may not, and the county may say, well, we're not concerned about that, that's a, you know, something that's the purview of the community services district. So, you know, it bottom line on that item is here. You know, I'm in favor of this as far as taking a look at it and see how it goes. We can always change if, you know, if it becomes a problem in the future to either for people developing or for the board, or it becomes a problem, you know, within the district itself, then we can reassess how we do it. Some amount of oversight might be good, and if not, it would be good for us on the board so that we understand how things work here better too, for at least for a while.
Mary?
I think that's a great idea to have the local community planning efforts come before this board, because the public doesn't know that the Oceania Advisory Committee over here makes these decisions unless you really sit here and pay attention to these meetings and all that stuff. I know I didn't know that before I moved to town, and I didn't know I had to go to this OAC over here versus OCSD over here, but you know, we already do planning. You know, it's whether you want to call it street lighting, whether you want to call it parks or whatever, but I do think that we should have a strong input into these large housing tracts that in 20 years will become ghettos. They're built to, they're shabby shacks now, with good paint. You know, I mean, they're not built with integrity and quality, nor anything that makes one look different from the one next door. So those are usually areas that get run down first and get abandoned. And if you look at the foreclosures, the majority of the foreclosures right now are in the two most recent developments in this town. Also, too, is that it makes it harder for staff to waive fees of developers. I'm going to say it. I mean, we lost hundreds and thousands of dollars in past years from fees being waived for certain developers. And so by bringing it before another board with a little less transparency, because we do, you know, try to keep our business in the public because it is public money, you're going to have less opportunity to waive those fees, and you're going to have less opportunity to say, oh, well, I don't want to put those street lights in, because that's basically what's happened in the last development or the second to the last development. Sidewalks too narrow, streets too narrow, you know. You can't get two fire trucks by half those streets. And that went before the county's, you know, designated planning committee for this area. So, you know, I'd like to see Oceana more than just a stepping stone community, you know, where I step by my first house, sell, and get the hell out. You know, we're more than that. Some of us are planning on staying here and retiring, and we don't want these places to be a you know, a big ghetto. You know, so, no, I think it's a great idea. I don't think it's micromanaging staff. I think it's being more involved in your community and have a little bit of say-so on what goes on, who gets to get their curbs, gutters, and sidewalks waived, who doesn't have to pay development fees, who does, you know. So I could go on and on, but I won't. I'll wait till the next one. So I'm very much in favor of this. And thank you for bringing it before the board. I'd like that on the record.
Any comment from the public? If not, bring it back to the board.
So I would like to make a motion that we We bring all development reviews before the board, and this is just a review. After after staff and everyone have put in their input and have brought it forth to us, and that we do it within 2 weeks so that there is no time lag and there is no delay to the developer.
Question? Development, please.
Everything. Every development.
A single-family house?
Single-family. Even if it's a garage addition or sometimes a granny unit,
okay.
I'd just like to see everything come through for a while.
Yep.
And you think 2 weeks is long enough?
2 weeks is measured from when?
From when staff has completed their work on it. And that includes fire. I'm hearing from fire department, they don't always see things or get to see some of the developments come through. So we do want them included in it. And if that isn't a feasible, that should be feasible, I think. If it's not, we can adjust it. It's not set in stone, but it's something I would like to see ongoing. OCSD, city, county, everyone reviews their development. And I think we should be on board doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I think we have been remiss not doing that.
Looking for a second?
I'm prepared to second that. I would make a suggestion that that the time allowed be within the second consecutive board meeting of the following the determination by staff of whatever staff recommends for the project. That would allow timely time for that and be put on a proper board agenda, and it would still be the minimum time that wouldn't impact.
So I would amend my motion to say the second consecutive meeting.
In that case, I'll second the motion.
Any other discussion from the board? Public comment? Seeing none, roll call.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
President Mann?
Yes.
And the second part, I'm just going to be real quick. I wanted to put before you what was a street light ordinance. It wasn't an ordinance. That's actually a policy. This never became an ordinance, but with our problems with street lights, it looks fairly good, and I'd like to have everybody kind of take a look at it. Also think about distances between streetlights, because I think we need to work on a streetlight code, because we don't have one. We really don't have one to adhere to. So this is why I passed this out. I wanted to let everybody take a look at it, and maybe we can put it on the next agenda because you just got it tonight.
Yeah. Okay. That was an informational item?
Yes. It was okay. It was kind of part of this.
And yes, yeah. I understand exactly. Okay. That brings us to old business. Has anything happened on any of these, Kevin? Do you know?
No, I don't have anything to report on any of them.
Okay.
Kevin, I realize you just got back and everything, and welcome back.
Thank you.
We did dearly miss you, honestly.
Likewise.
Yes.
Truly.
So, I don't want to jump on you real quick, but what kind of timeline would you say, let's just say number six, just because it's a number six. When can we come back and follow up on this?
Probably your next meeting, actually.
Okay.
On the grant writing stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll have a report at your next meeting on that.
All right, because, yeah, I'd like to really start moving on this.
Pamela probably could say something about number 7, I would think. The fire consolidation, where we...
Well, I didn't go to the fire consolidation meeting.
You know.
But, yes, we are proceeding with the JPA. They have given us a budget. They have to do some adjustments, I understand. And we're on track. As far as I know, we are on track, and we're working our way. And we're very glad to be doing it.
Yeah. They're looking at figures, and we showed them some different things on it. And tentatively, I believe that would not go into effect until 2010-11. It would not be going in this July.
Fiscal year 10-11.
Yeah, yeah, which is next year, actually.
Beginning next July.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, as that consolidation moves forward, we would lose some of our control over the fire issues within the district eventually.
Well, what you're controls? Going to be in a joint operation with two other communities. It will be somewhat similar
to the
way the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District operates, where you'll have a voting place on their board.
Okay.
So to the extent...
We would have a member
on that
board.
That board will be composed of the other cities. Yeah, there's some perhaps loss of control. And hopefully that's offset by the gain and the benefits of a joint operation. That's the hope. That's the goal.
Okay.
Taking into consideration that we're going into collaboration with two cities and we are an unincorporated area and our tax base is very different, has that been costed out? Has that been assessed? Is that carry equal weight? Because I don't think it does, but, you know.
No, it has. In the cost formulas, it's been accounted for on assessed valuation, on number of personnel. There were four different factors for the sharing that go into a formula for cost sharing. And the funding, it is different. Actually, in this downturn of the economy, we may be actually in better shape than some of our neighboring communities because of the way we're funded.
Not according to NCSD. Well, so we're
they mostly fund their fire departments out of revenues from sales tax, whereas we're property tax, and those two are different. So I think the answer to your question is, yeah, the fire committee is working through that very issue that you're talking about, and the other two communities that we will be in partnership with are very sensitive to that and understand that quite well.
All right, thank
because
you.
Because every time we remind them we only have X dollars.
You're good at that, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the better answer to mine. They're reminded constantly.
I can't see us doing bake sales.
Thank you very much, La Presidente.
The water and sewer rate studies... We're still waiting on auditors for that.
Right, I haven't had a chance to get with the Wallace group.
Now, did anybody read the paper today about Paso Robles and their class action suit on Proposition 218? We should go back and read that article. I didn't save it. Just out of curiosity.
Didn't they have a protest there?
No, they actually raised the rates two times in a row without going through a Prop 218 procedures and policies. The judge denied them a class action there, but it will move forward with the four people unless they can convince the judge to move it into a class action. So I bring this up because it is of the utmost importance that we really follow the letter of the law.
I think we understand that you'd have to have 218.
Yeah, but did you read the article?
No.
Well, people ask me what the article said, so that's what I'm reporting on. So the article said that you must go by the letter of the law because you are liable. So that's why it's important that the public doesn't probably even know a lot about 218. Means they have to ask us before they raise our rates.
Actually, I think probably our community might be a little more familiar with it because we did the 218 for the creek, the cleaning of the creek.
Yeah, and people, the people in Zone 1-1A really won on that one, huh?
They did better than if the state would have taken over. It
by
was
orders of magnitude.
Huh?
By orders of magnitude.
Yeah. Okay, reports of district representatives. Jim goes to the Sand District. I wasn't able to make the RAC. Pamela will talk about the fire committee. So now, Jim, it's your turn.
Wait, I have to get ready.
You're always ready.
Okay, at the Sanitation District, the plant is operating quite well. They had a problem earlier with chemicals coming through the system that was challenging the ability of the plant to meet its discharge license. They've had no violation to this point, but they've come, the levels in the discharge has been approaching their legal limit, and so they've investigated what some of the sources of this was and have come to some conclusions. They've talked to some of the customers and established time schedules for certain discharges. The plant has now come back into the what you might call the normal operating range, which is far below the discharge allowances. And also they've had to have a relatively high amount of chemical addition at the plant to keep within the legal limits. That has come down 50% from what it was at the high point. And again, this is by arrangement with one of the customers, especially to discharge material over time. But it's very important for people to understand not to discharge any chemicals, paints, formaldehyde, other types of material into the sewer system. Only household waste into the sewer system. If you're aware of anyone who's discharging that sort of material, please call the local district office here, OCSD office, or the office of the sanitation district. And again, that's for any chemicals. Please do not dispose of chemicals in the sewer because it affects the way the treatment plant can meet its discharge requirements.
That causes fines and the
causes large fines on the sanitation district, which comes back to all of us as ratepayers.
Comes right back to the ratepayers. Yep.
The major items then that the board approved were three payments regarding the energy services project. This is a cogen project where the plant will use methane gas that's generated in the plant's processes and will reduce the electric bill as a result of cogeneration with the methane gas. So they're going to have fairly significant savings. Instead of paying PG&E, they'll be able to self-generate electricity. And we renewed the district's liability insurance coverage. So that was the major items from the sanitation district meeting.
Any questions for...
What kind of chemicals were those? What was coming into the plant?
Largely formaldehyde.
Tanning process, that type of thing? Was that used?
They think it was probably from recreational vehicles. So that may have been discharged at Lesage or some other places. And I guess they're working out a metering arrangement that would... It's apparently small amounts in that's well diluted in the process is not a challenge to the plant, but large discharges can be a challenge to the plant.
So you... Using formaldehyde somehow in the RVs or what?
Apparently, they use it to treat the tanks in the RVs as potential source.
Any questions from the public for Mr. Hill? Okay, Vern.
I don't have anything.
Pamela.
I attended fire committee last night, and Captain Angelo has reported on the June. Action at the Oceano Fire Department. We also asked about 4th of July, and it was very quiet, he said. So that's good, too. The fireworks program, we didn't have the correct person there. it was quiet in a way that is good for the...
There weren't fire calls.
It was quiet for call volume and emergency services.
Yeah, thank you for clarifying that. It was not quiet. It was quite beautiful around here.
Yes, it was.
So the fireworks program, we do need to get a Captain Bova to come back and report to us how it went with the with our booths. And we did hear about the status of the RFP for the engine exhaust removal system. It's still being reviewed by our legal staff, this being Alex Seamus, is believing that we have to do the long form for this full bid because it is a public work since it will be put into a building. So it will be affixed to a building. It becomes a public works. So right now it was supposed to come back to this meeting to be approved by the board. It's going to take a little bit longer.
And that's the new ventilation system?
The ventilation exhaust system.
And will the new electrical be able to accommodate that ventilation system versus, like, you know, I don't know, like just say blowing up panels or something like that? Some extreme like that, you know. Is the electrical in concert with the vent system?
I'm not sure if that includes the electrical upgrade that we will ask.
I believe it's requiring an electrical engineer out
Let's
there
just
to,
make sure.
To do that.
Okay. Just because of history.
I don't know about the history, but I will take your word
say,
for it.
Let's just check on it.
We will check and make sure.
Thanks.
And the fire hazard reduction program, I think we got a lot accomplished here tonight. At least we found out where our flaws are. So that will go back to the fire committee meeting, our next one, and will be a great topic of discussion, I'm sure. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. Mary?
Well, I didn't attend any regular meetings, but I would like to comment on how the community was on the 4th of July. I'm fortunate to live on Beach Street, and I felt that the residents were the most responsible people in the state of California. For a place that allows fireworks and sells fireworks, zero law enforcement monitoring, numerous rocket launchers in the neighborhood, trust me. The only thing is it went on a little later than usual, but I'll tell you, I did not see one irresponsible person. And I was driving around looking. Everybody had fire extinguishers next to their platforms. Parents were out there with their children. It was almost like it was a coordinated town effort. If I went up Beach Street and came down Ocean Street, if I went up 16th and came down 17th, it didn't matter where I went. Everybody was having a very responsible time. And I think that's a community-driven thing, and I was really proud of it. And the town of Oceano did not have to pay $1 for our show, and I think we had the best in the county. So I just report on a little community activity.
Thank you very much. At this time, we're going to adjourn to closed session, but I would like to pull 11A.
And can I also suggest, Madam President, and maybe Kevin did some input on this, pulling 11D might not be a bad idea unless the general manager has some comments he would like to make.
Yeah. Okay.
Which one?
11D.
Yeah. We'll pull. Kevin, you don't have any.
Yeah, I don't have any comments. Okay. I think legal counsel gave you a report last month on that.
We'll pull 11A and 11D. Okay.
D. Last one, Mary.
Yeah, but weren't you on a call recently?
I think that was before meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You and Phil and Alex were all on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
The board's as up to date as staff is on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go for it.
Madam President, board members, public, at this time, I'd like to adjourn to a closed session to address and discuss the following. A closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B1 to consider the appointment or employment of a public employee. The position under consideration is the general manager. And for a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 64957.6 to meet and confer with the district's designated representative to consider compensation and benefits to its represented employees. The district's designated representatives are Interim General Manager Kevin Walsh and Ryan Fothergill. Under consideration is the Fire Department's Memorandum of Understanding.
Thank you. We need to go into closed session now, sir.
Section 54957B1 to consider the appointment or employment of a public employee. The position under consideration is the general manager. There was no action. There will be a special meeting called for next Monday at 6:30 p.m. here at the Oceano Meeting Hall to discuss that further. As a result of the closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 64957.6, we need to confer with the district's designated representative to consider compensation and benefits to his represented employees. The board gave direction to the designated representatives to move forward with the represented employees.
That's it. Thank you. Interim General Manager report, other than the audit's the only thing I see on there.
Yeah, the audit, I haven't had a chance to get with the auditor and find out his schedule. I will report to you, though, that the administrative assistant had said the board was interested in how many hours that we used Harold for.
Who?
Harold.
Which time?
On the fiscal
year.
Two prior years. And that was 98 hours. So we might expect a similar type effort on this audit.
Thank you. Anything else?
Nothing.
Okay, board member items for discussion?
None.
Jim?
None.
Vern? Mary?
No.
Okay, consideration of any comments from the public? Matt? Consideration of the warrants?
I move approval of the warrants as presented.
I second that.
All those in favor, any discussion? Any public comment? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Final public comment for the evening? Seeing none? Any written communication?
No communications.
Thank you. The meeting stands adjourned at 1 minute after 10.
Hey, good job.